Thank you, Sister Costello. That was certainly goes right along with the theme of Revelation chapters 4 and 5, where God is lifted up and praised for who He is and what He has done. I'd like to take us there for just a few minutes this morning as we reflect before we come back and receive from the Lord's table to Revelation chapter 5. By now, you probably realize there is much that is difficult to understand in the book of Revelation. Amen? There is. But there is one thing that is crystal clear. We know who wins. We know who ultimately comes out on top. And we are clearly told how that victory is achieved. And that is significant as we contemplate the communion service this morning. We find in Revelation chapter 5, just a bit of review, that there is one, the Lord God, who is seated on the throne, and He has in His right hand... Do you remember? That's been a few months ago, right? Does it say? He has a scroll or a book in His right hand, and it's described as having writing on the inside and the out, both sides. And we're told that it has seven seals, which is to say it is perfectly... It is completely sealed up. And we're told there in verse 2, there's a mighty angel cries out with a voice so loud that everyone in heaven, in earth, under the earth, can hear the very challenging and specific question that the angel poses. And there in verse 2 of chapter 5, the angel cries out, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll or open the book?" Let me point out to you, notice, if you would, it does not say who has the power to break the seals. It doesn't say who is able, who has the might, the strength to break the seals. No, he asks the question, who is worthy? In other words, who is good enough? Who is good enough? And as we notice, verse 3, it records and tells us that there's no one, no one, either a heavenly being or an earthly being, no one is worthy. And as a result, as we go on, verse 4, in my Bible, it records John as saying, "I wept and I wept." So John is obviously upset that he's thinking the book will not be opened. But then, verse 5, one of the elders speaks to John and says, "Don't weep. Stop your crying. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed." Has triumphed. One Bible says, has won the right. In other words, he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. John would have recognized those titles, those names that were used, Lion, Root of David. Those were messianic terms. John knew that. And so he turns to look there in verse 6, and he's expecting to see what? A lion. He's told, look, the lion has triumphed. So John turns expecting to see a lion, and what he sees is what? A lamb. A lamb. And precisely, if we looked a little closer at the word, it's actually saying a little lamb. Not just a lamb, but a little lamb. Do you happen to know, and I've just given you a clue, the most frequently used name or term for Jesus in the book of Revelation? The one title that's used more than any other, 28 times, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb. The Lamb. And as we go forward from this point, almost without exception, Jesus is the Lamb. Think of that for just a moment. Here is this Lamb in the midst of all these other beasts. There are dragons, there are serpents, there are leopards, there are lions, there are bears, and here is this little Lamb. Now, it's important that we notice that because it tells us something significant. It tells us how God conquers. It tells us the power by which He is victorious. It's as the Lamb. Now it does say, it's true in verse 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. But please notice, His strength comes from His self-sacrificial love. John is telling us, victory comes through sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Lamb, that's what gives Him the right to break the seals and open the book. But not just any lamb. Let's look a little closer. Verse 6. There is another feature we ought to notice that is significant, because in verse 6, as you can see, it says the Lamb is described as looking as if it had been what? Slain. One Bible says it has the marks of slaughter upon it. So in other words, we have a bloody little lamb. Again, speaking to us of sacrifice. Now some, and that might include us at times, some do not like to think about how Jesus died. They don't like the blood. And they see it as an affront, an offense, an embarrassment to civilized people. Why would Jesus die in the way that He did? In the very worst possible way. But that's the point. Crucifixion was specifically designed to be the worst of the worst. It was so bad that good Roman citizens didn't discuss it in public because it was so horrible, so disgusting, so obscene. And in fact, that is the word they used to describe it, obscene. So why this method and not another? We only have to look around at our world to answer that question. Because it corresponds to the depth of depravity caused by human rebellion against God. It shows us just how bad things really are with us. No wonder we don't want to look at it. But we need to behold what has happened. And we see the creator of the world, by whom all things were made, giving up not only his life, but also his position as ruler of the universe, Lord of all that exists, suffering something degrading, dehumanizing, and shameful. And yet, you know what the Bible says? It says Jesus despised the shame. Which is to say, he thought nothing of it for our redemption. And because of this self-sacrificial giving of himself upon the cross, Jesus as the Lamb is worthy. He is good enough to break the seals. Open the book. And as he does that, as the little lamb takes the scroll, praise erupts in heaven. And in verse 9, it talks about this new song that they sing, and it gives us a clue as to the meaning of the scroll. Look at verse 9. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Notice, what is the reason given? Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased God's persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Quite simply, the scroll contains God's eternal plan for this earth. It is salvation history. If it's closed, if it's sealed, if it's unopened, then God's purposes are not merely unknown, but they're unaccomplished. His plan, his will, cannot be carried out. But now, because there is one who is worthy, one who is good enough, one who has taken on, through his death on the cross, everything satanic, everything evil, everything demonic, everything sinful, everything wrong, and has emerged victorious, God's redemptive purposes come to fulfillment for you, for me, for all of planet Earth. And this morning, we celebrate, we commemorate His victory. His sacrifice for us, yes, but not only us, for the whole world. All of creation. And we are reminded that there is one who is worthy. And it goes without saying that we are not. There is one who is good enough. And because of that, we know for certain, as we peek forward to Revelation chapter 11, these familiar words. It says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Messiah, and He will reign forever and ever. We see the end time in Jesus Christ. Rest assured, the love of God cannot be defeated. Amen and amen. May it be so. At this time, you're invited to take part in the ordinances of humility as we prepare ourselves to come back and receive from the Lord's table.